This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to WHM On Screen, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin alongside Stephen Zadek and Eric Siska. We are here to talk about Ron Howard Presents, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you finding us, because this is a Star Wars-related thing,
sure.
We are generally a quote-unquote bad movie podcast that usually talks about some shitty older movies and makes fun of them and whatnot. These on-screens are things that we do for newer movies that come out, bibbidi-bobbidi, all that stuff. And all
we
that
might
is
like it, we might not like it, we don't know.
You never know. I mean, we'll get to that in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have some stuff behind what the kids call a paywall.
Yeah, this is free content, and you're welcome. You know, that's really nice. Just have a seat. Yeah, that. But if you look behind this wall here, there's a bunch of exciting paid-for content where you've got a $3 level, which you'll get an animation damnation, which is a fun recap of a bad cartoon. We've got like 30 of those up at the $3 level right now. We've got a $5 level, which will get you the $3 level, plus a what we call a prime episode that is behind a paywall. We've done a bunch of them. We've done some on Man of Steel. We've done one on Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, one on the movie Transcendence. In June, we will drop an episode on Jurassic World. So a ton of great shit there. For the $8 level, you get all the other levels, plus you get what is called the Nexus, which is a recap of Star Trek The Next Generation and Star Trek TOS. Back to back, kind of in a fun,
loving but joke filled.
Thank you. All that plus four commentaries a year, and I'm going to announce a new commentary we're doing next month.
Oh fuck!
Which will drop in July. If you like this show, the commentaries are more like hanging out with us in a way, like hanging out watching a movie. They're not like
it's the real deal. It's
yeah, we watch it in real time and we talk in real time.
It's like I'm on your couch. Hey, man, I live here now.
We're doing a power hour for no good goddamn reason because we're 35 years old and we're stupid.
It's what you call a stunt.
To the third Twilight movie, which I don't even know what the name of it is.
I think it's called Eclipse.
Is that Eclipse? Okay, yeah we're doing a third one. We've done the other two. They're already on there. If you sign up today, you'll get those. But this will be 1 hour of which will be a power hour, and the rest will be getting through the rest of that Twilight movie. That'll be dropping sometime in July. You're going to want to watch that.
Hey. Anyway, check out all this extra stuff. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Now, Solo, A Star Wars Movie, directed by Ron Howard, just came out this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This Memorial Day weekend. First of all, I love the notion that because it made a paltry $101 million, it's a failure and Star Wars is sunk forever.
It's over.
Can we just get a fucking grip on reality? My God.
That is one thing I don't understand. Deadpool went through this too, where it made a boatload of money. But because it didn't break records, therefore it is a failure.
Right.
And I mean, like, whether or not you like either of those movies, that's fine. But like, we need to address what success is.
Yeah.
Because like, we've already destroyed what a middle movie is.
Yeah.
Like, if the only thing that actually can exist.
So it's exactly like the middle class is gone.
Yes.
We either have poverty movies or we have the affluent 1% movies.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that's kind of where we're going here. If we only view movies as successes or failures based on breaking records, we won't even have, like, sort of mid-tier blockbusters. Like, we should have middle-tier movies, like, you know, like action movies, thrillers, dramatic romances. Like, all these movies are kind of ebbing away because we are obsessed with, like, the numbers here.
Well, it's because also, like, so much of our box office culture is dominated by these record-breaking things like your Black Panthers and your Infinity Wars and your whatever the fuck, right? That, like, when you have a movie that makes over $100 million three or four days, and it's like, nope. Hey, Star Wars, out of business, motherfucker.
Oh, shit, man.
Guess it's just dried right. That well is fucking tapped.
And again, like, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not even defending Star Wars movies. I'm just defending movies that need to make a decent amount of money.
So now that the state of the industry is over, let's dig into this movie. I want to get it out of the way that, like, okay, a lot of people weren't excited for a Han Solo story, myself included.
Sure. Yeah.
I would have rather them done anything else in this universe.
Uh-huh.
But I was shocked how much I liked this movie.
I kind of was, too. I feel like I sort of had no expectation. I really, really like Star Wars, but I've never, like, read a Star Wars book or owned a Star Wars toy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's how I gauge my fandom, yeah. right? I mean, like, that's why I know that I'm more a Star Trek person, because I read Star Trek books and had Star Trek toys.
Right.
Yeah. I think, like, the extracurriculars of a movie franchise, or movie TV franchise or whatever, makes you the bigger fan.
Sure.
Kind of
like, if people don't know, I've read a ton of Star Wars novels, including this year.
Oh, they know.
Okay, yeah. But, you know, some people find the show through these special episodes.
But, so I was just kind of like, okay, you know, it's just another Star Wars movie. I've been loving these new Star Wars movies mm-hmm. enough, like the saga ones and whatever. Like, I think Rogue One is okay. And I had a shit ton of fun with this movie.
I do think it is better than Rogue One. I actually liked Rogue One when I saw it because it felt like cracking open one of those EU novels. But this is even more so because I felt it was very restrained. You have a very straightforward kind of story.
Sure.
And we do not have to hem and haw about the Jedi and Sith and, oh my God, the fate of the galaxy.
I like this movie just enough. Like, I'm really just on the edge there. Like, I'm with Eric where I went in being like, I really wish they told. And I'm with Andrew as well, or with this whole group, which I love these new Star Wars movies. I love the first two of the new saga.
Mm-hmm.
I left there enjoying the movie, but at the end still feeling like I wish they made a movie about anything else, because I still kind of feel like I don't think the kid has it. I don't think Ansel Elgort.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Oh, the other one. Okay.
Ansel Elgort's fucking Baby Driver.
Okay, and that kid could have done a better job. I don't know. I
don't think so.
I think this performance is fine. I just don't think it holds even a slight candle
I was shocked by this performance because I thought it was so much better than I expected, because all the press, and that's what kind of sunk this movie,
right,
was all the press about it until release was they fired the directors. Oh no, this guy needs an acting coach. Like, yeah. I thought it was going to be a train wreck.
Sure. I mean, it cleared that hurdle for sure. Yeah. And I mean, I think it is fun. I think it kind of goes in and out. In some scenes, he's got a little more charisma, and some scenes he doesn't. Some scenes he feels a lot more stiff. His performance was not for me.
I totally enjoyed him in it.
Sure.
I thought he did a good job. And I think part of the reason why I wasn't noticing any of this stiffness is because most of his scenes, he's paired against Emilia Clarke, who's about as stiff as you can get.
And that's a huge problem for this movie. That's another reason. I think she's kind of terrible. I think she's totally good in Game of Thrones, doing what she does in Game of Thrones. Anything else outside of that, not so much.
Like, I saw her in Terminator Genesis, which is another, like, multi-million-dollar fan film. and she's playing Sarah Connor, and it was fucking horrible. And mm-hmm. she had this thing out when they were doing press for this, where she was, like, talking shit about the movie and how nobody had fun making it and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but you're getting paid a fuck ton of money to be in a Terminator movie. Let's attempt anything. Like, following Linda Hamilton is really fucking tough.
Mm-hmm.
And even What's-Her-Face on the TV show as Sarah Connor was better.
The other Game of Thrones lady, what's her name?
Cersei Lannister.
Lena Headey.
Yes. Yeah, Lena Headey, who was also
who's great.
But you're also following Linda Hamilton, so it's tough.
I will defend Emilia Clarke in this movie because, okay, now, I think she's
spoiler,
all right.
By the
she's
way, spoiler right. alert for the
oh,
whole
course.
Movie.
And
just, oh, yeah, of course.
We're
going to
talk
yeah.
about it all.
Yeah. yeah.
What I think is fine about that is we're bridging the gap from the prequels
yes.
into the OT. And in the prequels, no one acted like an actual human being.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like, I feel like if you watch the prequel trilogy and then Han Solo, a Star Wars story, and then into the OT, uh-huh. you're kind of just like, oh, okay, yeah, people are starting to become people. They're slowly getting
the
there.
The galaxy learned what emotions was exactly. in those intervening years, in this right before when the space 70s hit and everyone understood what emotions were.
Exactly.
But it's kind of crazy, though, because, like, I mean, all right, like, we differ on Alden Ehrenreich's performance.
Sure.
And, you know, I guess we differ on Emilia Clarke a little bit here. But, like, with Emilia Clarke specifically, like, you're surrounded by charismatic performances. Yes. Woody Harrelson, Donald Glover, Tandy Newton, Phoebe Waller-Bridge doing the L3 droid, even this fucking Junus whatever dude playing Chewbacca, like... And he's played Chewbacca before.
Yeah.
This is not his first outing as Chewbacca, but this is like a little more.
Yeah, he's stretching those Chewbacca. Big old legs.
And he's fucking killing it even as Chewbacca. You got Jon Favreau as the little, the voice of the little guy.
And Emilia Clarke winds up being the most interesting character in the movie.
It
you know what I mean?
It is an interesting character.
And, like, I know, I mean, like literally yeah. the twist at the end is like, it's all about her and her character and what she's, all the dirty shit she's gone through and stuff like that. And like, what is her real side and what's her real face? And like all of that falls flat because the performance isn't very good. Like, you think about Anne Hathaway in The Dark Knight Rises, like where she can turn on a dime. Like, that's what you need in this movie is somebody who's like
Anne Hathaway.
You'd be fine. I'd be fine with Felicity, what's her name, from Rogue One.
Right, Jones.
Felicity Jones, who was great, I think.
Yeah. It's just this Kira character is such a huge deal in this movie, as it turns out. Mm. And. I'm sorry, she's like watching paint dry.
Mm-hmm.
So we open on Corellia, and I loved finally seeing Corellia, and the fact that this Lady Proxima character I thought was fantastic, voiced by Linda Hunt.
Oh, that's this, who that
like
was.
This
okay, thank
you. Centipede crime
she's
lord.
She's a human centipede.
Now I'm just picturing this creature eating someone's shit.
That
definitely happened.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep.
That's why she keeps all these orphans around. She feeds on their shit.
Oh, excellent. Nom, nom, nom,
but deleted scenes.
We're not, and this is like, maybe this is from my perspective of reading all these EUs and comics and shit, that it's like, there's such a tendency in the Star Wars EU to like being like, oh, it's another Hutt.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a fucking another Hutt. So it's great to see a new creature design happen that was realized and didn't feel like a complete CGI gleep glop.
I think there was a good amount of real deal VFX puppets in this movie.
I will say that this movie, even more so than Rogue One, even though Rogue One kills this, and I think that this is what Disney has going for it, amongst other things, is they get the Star Wars aesthetics as perfect as anybody. Like, and the production design is perfect in every scene. And this whole movie is filled of worlds, crafts, and places to be.
It is amazing.
That are super
definitely.
Star Wars-y.
The problem I had with the visuals of this film was it felt so dark. It felt like I was watching a bootleg here and there. I thought it was the projection in my theater, and I saw this movie twice. I went to a better theater the second time. I was like, oh, no, that's just the movie.
When you left the first theater, you're like, well, I guess I'll have to go to the better theater now. Fucking turn on your goddamn projector!
Only a little bit. I was high enough from the film.
But, yeah, and it's this weird, like, you know, because especially when we're what's the planet we start out on?
Corellia.
And this is,
That's a long-teased Star Wars planet.
Oh, it is. A lot of famous people have come from there. Wedge Antilles was from there, obviously Han Solo. And we see the Star Destroyers get built there. It's a shipbuilding planet. The Millennium Falcon was built there. It's like an industrial planet.
One of Han Solo's first lines is like those big Carillion ships, mind you.
Oh, okay.
So he's he kind of
see. I didn't brush up before I went.
No, you're fine. I mean, that's like literally just
this is
me
like
closing my eyes and replaying Star Wars is how I can do that.
But I'll say to the look of everything though. Yes, the bleakness bothered me because I get it. Like, it's supposed to be bleak. It's a horrible existence for them, right?
Mm-hmm,
like,
right.
And this continues for the first like 60 minutes of this 135 minute movie, so it's kind of obnoxious. But to just piggyback for 1 second on what you're saying about Rogue One and this movie getting like the looks of everything right, what I think is so impressive is that both of these movies are movies that are taking place before the very first Star Wars movie, before Episode 4, and they get that like retro look down versus I haven't finished this first season. It's fine and whatever. And I'm not talking about the entire overall opinion of the show, but the set design on this Star Trek Discovery, this is a movie that's supposed to be taking place before TOS.
Oh, okay.
And like it's between TOS and Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks futuristic as fuck.
Aren't they
but
doing
it's
the movie aesthetics?
That's what I'm saying. Isn't that a,
they are,
TOS.
But even still, the technology.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
too much.
It looks way too flashy and futuristic. And like that was something that Enterprise, which isn't a great show, did get right is like the lo-fi.
The junkiness.
They got that right. And these two movies, Rogue One and Solo, get that right of like shit looks old and junky. Like when he's
better
in that
than
speeder at the beginning.
Yeah.
It looks shitty as fuck because it's kind of supposed to.
Better than those Lucas prequels with all the slick, shiny ships
right,
and blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of glad. Like, I never thought, after the prequels, I never thought I'd be glad to see them explore this time period again, like
sure.
this pre-A New Hope time period.
Yeah.
Because obviously I was scarred from the last time. But it's a time period that was never really explored by the old EU
sure.
or anything else. Like, I don't think you were allowed to, because there was the plan of, like, oh, Lucas will do those movies.
Interesting.
So everything I read growing up either took place concurrently, usually post Empire Strikes Back, and then obviously after Return of the Jedi. So
yeah.
it's an interesting space to occupy, and obviously they bridge it together with the ending we'll get to.
And I mean, I think that's kind of, I mean, like, and I like that world, and this movie is a lot more fun than Rogue One, and I think it's a lot cleaner than Rogue One.
It moves at such a better clip.
Yes.
Everything about it is better, and I think Ron Howard or whoever, Philip Lloyd, whoever, Philip Lloyd, no.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Christopher Lloyd.
Lord and
Action!
Lord and Miller, or whoever the fuck,
Philip
Kathleen
Lord, yeah.
Kennedy,
yeah.
Yeah. Lucasfilm in general, they, I feel like they really just took shit like from like the 40s serials that like inspired Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get like the great train robbery. I never thought I'd see a train robbery in Star Wars, and
yeah.
it was great.
I
was
really like that sequence.
I mean,
war film sequence was amazing as well.
I love Woody Harrelson in this. I love Tandy Newton in this.
Woody was the best part of
yes,
this
movie. Yes, he is. And I mean, like, and he, because he's got that charisma, and like he owns the screen whenever he's on it. You're drawn directly to him.
And he also knows, you know, that he is the character that's influencing what Han Solo is. And it's not that he's doing mm-hmm. a Harrison Ford impression.
Sure.
He's just playing a person with similar characteristics
yes.
that Han Solo,
kind of
that
similar
we know.
Worldview. Kind
yeah,
of,
yeah, yeah, exactly. And he really like nails that kind of like eerily so. Like Woody Harrelson does a fucking great job in this.
He's like holding this movie up for me. And not that this movie's bad. I think this movie's like a C+.
You're okay. No, you're fine not liking it. I'm sure we're getting negative iTunes reviews by the second.
It's like, what are, you ever watch those Facebook videos and the likes start pouring in?
Yeah.
You just start seeing like these thumbs down pouring in as
a lot
we
of
talk.
SJW gay slur, so
and
so.
And I love, SJW wise, I love that it's Woody Harrelson and Tandy Newton, and that's not even a fucking problem. It's not even a thing. It's not even a thought. You know what I mean? Like, they make out in the middle of the movie,
yeah.
and it's just there and it's cool. You know what I mean? Like, and that's an important thing for movies like this, I think, to a degree.
Speaking about the SJW stuff that's floating around, like, there's a lot of people online that hate L3 and they cite the droid rights thing, which, by the way, the droid rights stuff...
It's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. It's definitely not taken seriously.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, I know it's a joke because I'm killing every last one of those fucking things when robots start talking to me, man.
Robarts?
Robarts, yeah, sorry.
No, Jason Robarts, you're going to go kill him again.
When the robots start talking, dude, when that cute little Japanese robot that plays soccer
oh, yeah.
starts talking to you, mm-hmm. I'm cutting its fucking head off.
But so you would refuse service to a droid is what you're saying.
That's absolutely right, because it's not a human being.
Wow, so someone's going to open a cantina on Mos Eisley.
You fucking better believe it. The strictest codes in the galaxy.
So fuck you, bud.
But one of the like first, I don't know, one of the first 70 lines of Star Wars of the entire saga is "We don't serve your kind here." So this like is ingrained in it. This like
very
droid
so.
Versus man thing
yeah.
is like very much part of it. And I'm glad that it is. It's played for a joke in A New Hope, and it's played for a joke here. They kind of go both ways with it, where like you do side with her because she's like, "Hey, man," you know what I mean? Like she's a minority.
Sure,
she's a minority, but like it is very clearly like. It's fun. It's a joke. We're not taking this idea too
seriously. Wait, serious. But so, and they're upset about the droid rights thing. Why
because
exactly?
Because they think it's like of course we got to fucking fight for minorities in Star Wars
that's,
or whatever.
That's why. Which
thank
they,
you, Miss Kathleen Kennedy.
I think it's kind of a joke. It's kind of a joke for you guys if you learned how to read, but.
yeah, exactly.
Like, Just, I don't know, man.
Like, you gotta unplug, man. You gotta...
See, like, not every... Like,
well, they've all taken Ambien before they go on Reddit.
Oh, that's right. That's true. You know what? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Just stop watching Star Wars.
That'd be great.
Like, you know...
Yeah, we did. That's why this movie failed.
Well, how about you shut up about it? Like, that's what I don't get. Like, this... It's like they don't... Obviously, you know, they don't want to like the movie. They go in not wanting to like, which is kind of how I go into a lot of movies too. But
or are they just trying to hold up their internet personas and they actually love this shit?
Do you know how many things I don't watch that I don't talk about? I could fucking fill up the moon with that. I don't watch
science
a lot of things.
Documentaries?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I think a lot of it stems from the fact that Kathleen Kennedy is a woman that's kind of running the ship, and she's doing a great job.
She is. I mean, look, these movies are all successful, and this movie does feel like a Star Wars movie to me. To me, a bit of descending opinion here is that this movie fits well. Like, it does a lot of fun stuff. The set pieces are fantastic. Woody Harrelson's great. Paul Bettany is amazing.
Yes, Dryden Voss, by the way, which is a fucking phenomenal name for a villain in an 80s movie.
Sounds like Dalton Voss, right?
Yeah, from The Chase.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Charlie Sheen in The Chase.
That's what I'm thinking of, actually.
Oh, but Dalton Voss's daughter.
Yeah, but I mean, and I think that this movie does... We talk about restraint. It does hold back a little bit, but there's a little bit too much hanging hats on stuff for my taste.
Little bit. Case in point, I do not need to know why he's called Han Solo.
I don't need to know why he's called Han Solo.
Kind of appreciate that it's like a John Doe situation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of cool.
I don't need it, but I'm okay with how it went.
This guy just being like, well, I guess you're Han Solo. I can't believe I got to say it. Oh, I got to say it.
How about, you know, give me a scene of someone else coming up, like coming up, like trying to join the Empire, and they're like covered in mud or something. Well, I guess we got Joe Mudd over here. Like, he's like falsifying everyone's records, like to fuck with them.
And some fat guy, oh, hello, Mr. Chubbikins. Like, excuse me, that's your new name.
Dude, that's how Porkins got started. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Kurt, no, my name is, it's Rogers. It's John Rod. No, Mr. Porkins, right this way.
Yes, Fatty, join the resistance.
I'm going to join the rebellion after this. Shit. And then I've been Porkins for 12 years. I guess I just stay Porkins.
I do like the papers scene. It's a part of the Empire. We don't really see that much. The bureaucratic, cold, cruel side of it. Like,
I love that we
separating
get to see
families and losing 1,500 children.
Yep. Yeah.
That
an
kind
imperial
of stuff.
Airport. I always wanted to see an imperial. Show me how the regular people fly.
I like him joining up with the Empire. It's a cool wrinkle to the character to a degree.
That whole shit is all the like seeing the inner workings of blobbity whatever. That's also why I really love that fucking casino scene.
Yeah,
Last Jedi. Last Jedi, like. I like seeing how other parts of this world function other than ships and fucking fighting in space.
And the fucking Jedi and the Sith. Like, yes. I'm glad that can take a back seat.
They don't say Jedi at all in this movie, though.
Yeah, but they show one.
What?
They show at the end of the movie.
Yes. Yeah, well, but they don't fucking say it, and it's awesome.
And like I like all that. I think that I do think Ehrenreich's a really stiff and doesn't really have it a lot of the time. I love Chewbacca because it's confirmed. It's something I always was curious about.
No, I know where you're going with this.
Has he ever tasted human flesh?
Hell yes, he has.
He's been eating people. He was eating people for months down there
as a fucking sideshow,
dude. That's fucked up. That guy's an engineer. That guy knows, and they show it at the end of the movie. He like flips it on, like, how do you know that, you monster? She's like, dude, I have a degree in Kashyyyk. I am a fucking doctor.
Yeah,
I
dude.
Built
but
ships.
Then when I came to your country, I had to eat people.
Exactly.
Totally. Where I'm from, I'm a doctor. Over here, I have to run a bodega and eat people.
And like, and that, I like that scene. I actually think, for my faults with Ehrenreich, I think he's got, good chemistry with Chewbacca.
Big time.
I think, which is super important, obviously. And I points to that. I will give him points to that.
It's fucking awesome that he's the first person like in the Star Wars movies to speak like two Chewbacca language to Chewbacca.
Yes, it works.
It's fucking great.
It's fun to watch that. I don't need, again, hanging a hat on thing. And I mean, like, every time you do this, you like lose. So it just takes me out of the movie and makes me feel like I'm a little embarrassed to be in the movie when it's like, what's your name? Chewbacca. That's really long. I think I'll shorten it to something a little more palatable.
Yeah, you could just have him call him Chewie at
exactly.
some point.
Exactly. If you meet somebody named Jonathan and you're like, well, Jonathan's a little long. I think I might call you John, which is a shorter version of exactly. Jonathan.
I've never once explained to you why I call you Steve.
Exactly. It's just a shortening of a longish name.
It's a thing that happens. Yeah. And like if that one did not, I mean, the Solo thing, I was like, boof, okay, whatever,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
But then that one, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
It's too much. And I mean, but I do, I like the heist movie elements of this. I like the train robbery.
Train robbies? Woo! Roboards!
Man, and I love
oh, damn it, you got me.
The fact that Woody Harrelson is just taking people's armor and just walking around like he owns the place in the battlefield.
That shit is awesome.
And he's
yeah.
up there. It's meant to look like World War One.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like Paths of Glory up
totally.
There. It's fucking great.
And he's got that little Errol Flynn
yeah.
mustache kind of a thing.
I feel like Ron Howard's or whoever directed this movie is.
I think that the confirmed, like what you're seeing.
Crimson Dawn
directed this movie. Yeah.
I think what you are seeing. I think the final number that was out, it's 80-20 Howard.
Okay.
80% of this movie is Ron Howard.
Okay. Yeah, so it just feels like very classic Hollywood because like in the movies of the 40s, like they were kind of informed from World War One.
That's also kind of why Ron Howard is a perfect choice to make this movie because that's the nature of a lot of
during
his
movies. World War One.
No, just like he makes movies in a very classical style.
Yeah. And he's very, very, not slavish, but like very respectful of where he is. And like, it's very much, oh, well, whatever George wanted to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Which is also why I think
he resurrected Darth Maul, I think is also a nod to George in a way.
Which we can just talk about that. Sure. So this whole thing is talking about
Crimson Dawn, ahead. Which is the syndicate, which I like the syndicate angle. And I think this is good world building for the rest of these movies that they want to make in this time period. Is like,
totally.
You make an underboss that you can attack without actually affecting the overboss, which is the Empire. So like you can have all these adventures with, it's cynical in a way, but it is cool because you got Paul Bettany killing it in this movie.
He was amazing.
Exactly. And, exactly. Like, Palpatine's not reading the reports about all these things. It's just like shit that's happening.
It's like weird drug deals next to what's happening.
Exactly. I don't need to see Ronald Reagan. I want to watch Miami Vice.
And I think that's a cool idea. And I think that's going to take this, I mean, like, depending if the movie is a failure or not, blah, blah, blah. But Paul Bettany is great in this movie. I love the fighting style. I love his little fucking
Tara Sky.
Laser blades. He looks, and I think it's because Aaron Reich's short and Emilia Clarke's short, but in that last scene when they're fighting, he looks like fucking Akeem Olajuwon, dude. That dude looks enormous.
I couldn't believe it. And like, I would gather he's like kind of a tall dude, but like, Jesus Christ.
I know. It's just like he's doing the Undertaker big boot.
Dude, you know what I thought it looked like? It was when Kramer's doing karate lessons with all those kids. With the same skill level, Jerry.
It's amazing. He's enormous in that scene.
Oh my God, it's so great. And I was, we were trying to, we talked about this before, we were trying to like figure out if he'd ever played like a villain before.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really put my finger on it. My God, he's fucking got this down. He's so awesome.
I like
awesome.
The cool scars. I like that his eyes go red when he gets angry. He's a weird alien. I just think that, and I mean like, he's very menacing, and like I think he's sparsely used, probably for the benefit.
I can't believe they killed him, and I didn't even get his full fucking backstory. What a fucking waste of a character!
Yeah, what's his high school GPA?
That's why it's
3.6, dude. He fucking, you know what I mean? Like,
he turned to a life of crime. Wow, I guess no one gets out.
Favreau's little monk. I lost significant dialogue. Trying to figure out who that was, and it was Jon Favreau. Like, I'm like literally, he's talking, and I'm like, who the fuck are you in my head?
We couldn't figure it out, and my wife was losing it, and she finally opened the phone in her purse and just looked really quickly, and I was like, you know what? I'll allow it because it's driving me fucking crazy.
It was Jon Favreau, and he's good in this movie. And he
because also the voice is totally modded, so it's not like you're gonna get it.
He's got this slow little monkey death, which I kind of love.
I was, dude, I was getting upset. I was kind of getting emotional watching this kinda... cute this like fucking six armed little cute monkey thing just die.
I was kind of laughing. I was having fun with it. It just not to the detriment of the movie. I was like, that's kind of funny.
So we actually haven't really talked about Lando at all. So what do we think of that?
I love this. I fucking love this. I really love the outfits.
I think the performance is totally fine. It's just not there for me. I'm
God,
sorry.
What do you want?
I want Billy Dee goddamn Williams.
He's fucking 85 years old, dude. Get over it. You're not getting it. And you know what this is? It's him doing a nice, like, he's got the inflections, and he's not doing a cartoon sketch. Yes. And what's awesome is you can see the difference, because when he hosted SNL, he did a Lando bit, and he's totally cartooning it up. It's two totally different Landos.
I think he's got a good presence, and I think that I'm fine with it for the most part. It's just
how could he do better?
I know.
If you're giving him a performance evaluation,
I just want this character out of this movie. Honestly, like, I don't need a ton. And I feel the same way about this Leia thing. Like, everyone's like, we need a Leia movie. No, we don't. She is gone. It's totally fine to leave that character. And let's explore new characters. I loved Paul Bettany, new character. I loved Woody Harrelson, new character. Tandy Newton, new character. Yeah,
I would prefer new characters, but I did enjoy Lando for what it was. I feel like what we got in this movie might not have been perfect with Han and Lando, but I think it's the best we could have gotten without having Harrison Ford and Billy Dee Williams.
I love
both of them in Beetle wigs, like 80-year-old men. Like, what young scrappy pups we are!
But I mean, to be fair to Donald Glover, I mean, Lando is such a tertiary character.
That's true.
More than that, more than this movie in the OTs, like barely there. By the way, you notice the Woody Harrelson dresses in Lando's outfit that he wears.
Yes,
at
the
Return
Shredder
of the Jedi.
Mask.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is great, because that just means somewhere on the Millennium Falcon,
it's just always there.
We get a little bit of a taste of this, because we get the fucking Lando closet situation, which I feel like Han Solo, you know, demolishes and everything.
Demolishes. Yes.
But he does some renovations on the Falcon, and that's like a game room or something. But I feel like this
a vestiary. It's only where vests go.
Chewie, that's my man cave. Get out of there. No.
It's where I'm going to put my cold beer kegerator. No, but I feel like
playing
somewhere
billiards with humans only.
On this ship still is a pretty fun prop closet. Because that Shredder mask is on there somewhere.
I like the Falcon stuff. I like the... We do get to see the card game, which, you know, has been...
I think it's pretty cool.
Oft talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something from the EU that they brought back in. And also Han being a former Imperial, they brought back in. So,
I just
points,
you know,
for me.
Yeah. Finally, you get some points. We did kind of mention Darth Maul. And like sort of at the end of this movie, you see Kira kind of turn on the team.
I was having so much fun with this movie. And when I saw Darth Maul and I didn't know where this was going, the blood drained out of my face. I was like halfway distraught for a second. Because like I was never really for bringing Darth Maul back from after being cut.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
And in the Clone Wars and the Rebels cartoons, they do bring him back and he has big story arcs. And he's got the robot legs. And I haven't seen the Clone Wars, but I've seen Rebels. Mm-hmm. And it was just so
jarring.
Out of left field for me.
Pretty
jarring. Because I just watched Darth Maul have like a... Kenobi kills Darth Maul in Rebels.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, I thought...
What, does he poison his drink? Well, let's drink to the Empire.
Well, as you should know, that I've been developing a resistance to Idocaine powder since my days in Naboo.
It didn't matter which drink you picked up.
No, it's like a lightsaber fight ends pretty quickly with Kenobi being the victor.
Sure.
But now there's all this talk about the fact that they set Darth Maul up into this, and Crimson Dawn now might be across all these new standalone movies they're doing. So the Fett movie they'll factor in.
Yes.
And then also Kenobi obviously will have a rematch with Darth Maul in that movie.
I'm half and half on it. Like, I kind of like that it's Maul to a certain degree. Like, it's a character that's totally throwaway in that prequel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's see what he can do. Robot legs, maybe not. I mean, like, you have to have robot legs, I guess.
But does he have, like, a spider robot legs, or is it just two robot legs?
He's got two robot
legs. It's now two robot legs. I think in the Clone Wars, it was the spider legs, but in Rebels, they course-corrected. And by the way, Ray Park is back as Darth Maul.
Which is cool.
Peter Serafinowicz is out.
That I'm against.
I feel like if he wasn't doing the tick, he'd be doing that voice.
No, I don't know, because they brought in the dude who does it from Rebels and the Clone Wars, the same voice actor. So I don't know.
It's fun. I mean, like, I'm
cautiously optimistic for it. We'll see where it goes. But I did not expect it. So it's good to be surprised.
It is. And I was surprised. And I think that there needs to me, it's more a failure on the Emilia Clarke part of the seesaw, where it's like, again, like, she's just staring blankly at nothing, and it's just like, yes, my
but
master.
At the same time, it's Star Wars. You don't really need a blueprint.
And so the movie kind of ends, and I mean, we've kind of gone through most of it. Sort of, we're leaving large swaths off.
Well, sure, this is just a mini-sode, as they say.
The next thing we're gonna do is go to Jabba's palace, and I'm like, that's the hat that I want. Like, Han learning how to be a scumbag, because the ending with him and Woody.
Here's the thing: like, people assume that, like, we're going to Jabba's palace, and that means A New Hope is starting, which is true.
Yeah, he's just going to get in with Jabba.
Exactly. Who knows how many jobs he ran through there or in the Outer Rim territory?
Who knows if that's actually what you're going to see? I mean, I'm sure you'll see something. But
yeah, I hope. Another thing is, like, I hope we don't do that.
Yeah.
Just when I was saying about this movie before I saw it. But one great thing was Han Solo is a drug runner for Jabba.
Sure.
He drops a shipment of spice.
Spice.
Which is stolen from Dune, I think, right, as the drug. So he drops a shipment of spice that gets him on Jabba's shit list. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing him.
Sure.
Walk around with drugs.
Dude, if you just had, how about this next Solo movie, because it's just like fucking over drug dealers and whatever. What if it was like Good Time and he's just fucking running around the galaxy with a fucking bottle of spice, beating up some security guard at a fucking carnival.
Yeah, and instead of like some dude falls off a balcony because of the dog, but that dog is Chewbacca.
Totally fucking works.
I love it, man. I thought the other, I don't know what, maybe the other Wookiee fell on hard times. That dude looked like shit. I don't know what happened to him.
That Wookiee had a weird face.
He did.
He was fucking working in the spice mines of Kessel.
Oh, yes.
Well, let me see how you hold up.
But I do like the last scene with Woody Harrelson. He does shoot first, obviously.
Han shoots first.
Yeah. A little nod to that. But we don't put a hat on that, which I appreciate. I think it's fun. When do his balls drop, out of curiosity? Like, does that happen in his late 20s? Is that, or his early 30s?
What are you talking about?
Well, I talk like this for a while, and then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, kid, get over here.
It's spice. It's all the spice he was doing.
It's heavy spice use.
One thing I do like about the MacGuffin of the movie, with being the hyperfuel, the coaxium or whatever,
right,
is the fact that it's a ticking bomb at the same time. So it gives this movie a lot of agency. You're really on the edge of your seat, even though I know Han Solo lives. He's not going to explode, but it's very exciting.
I was even excited towards that part when they're like about to get sucked into that black hole or whatever they call it.
Oh, right, with the fucking space Klaatu or whatever.
Yeah, Cthulhu is coming at him, man.
Yeah.
When Han Solo's got to get the fucking cheat code to do the Kessel run.
But even like when it doesn't work and they get sucked in, I'm like, oh, where are they going with this? And then it kicks in 3 seconds later. I was like, oh, wow. I kind of was surprised by that.
Yeah, no.
And excited by it.
This movie had way more surprises than I think something like Rogue One did, where it's like such a direct line into the next movie.
And because, Vader cheat codes. And
yes, yeah. Oh, big time, right? Like, oh, you have activated Darth Vader mode. Because like so much of it.
Which is great, but yeah, I get it.
And that's why I think it is good that you've got this like 20-something-year-old kid, because like, there's all sorts of adventures that could happen in between this Solo movie and New Hope, you know, versus you know, we're getting the fucking first scene of New Hope in Rogue One.
I want a Fett movie for sure.
I do too. I know some people don't want it, but it's something I've wanted since I was a child. Yeah, so I should
they got
a good director, so let's see what happens.
I want a Fett movie for sure. I want like just stuff that's less explored in the Star Wars universe explored. I just
fucking
don't
give me a Dengar movie.
I don't want to take some risks. And I'm okay with
I'm
certainly okay with like female fronted movies. Give me like make Mara Jade, figure that shit out.
It would be great to bring her back. Mara Jade ended up marrying Luke Skywalker in the post Return of the Jedi EU. Oh. She's since been stripped of her rank as as a canon character, but I think they'll probably find a place to put her back in because they did. Grand Admiral Thrawn was also another one of these.
He's that blue guy?
Yes, who's a great, great character. who's the best guy ever that ever lived. He took place right after Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
And he was like an admiral that the Empire sent to the very outer rims of the galaxy mm-hmm. because they were racist against blue people.
Oh.
But he was still
great. Get those blue people out of here. I don't want them using our toilets.
Disgusting. Oh my God.
He was a great character. Great tactician. They rearranged the canon. They put him in Rebels, pre A New Hope,
yeah.
Instead of post Return of the Jedi. So they rearranged stuff.
She's a female Jedi that could eventually
be in anything,
and you could make a movie about a female
She doesn't even have to be involved with Luke.
Yes.
Like she was actually a hand of the Emperor for a long time doing Imperial missions.
But I think that Princess Leia should be done with Carrie Fisher, period. And that's it.
Yep.
And I mean, it's different because Harrison's still alive. Billy Dee's still alive. It's not so raw. Like, dude, we buried that lady last year. I don't need to see some dead-eyed actress be like, hi, it is me, Princess Leia. Now I'm a spy.
By the way, I want to quickly mention, getting back to the SJW part, if Star Wars 1977 came out today, the internet would be on fucking fire over like, oh, this is SJW stuff. I can't believe, oh, she's got to be a princess and use a gun.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It would be non-fucking stop. Oh, Mon Mothma, when was the last time a woman ran a war?
Now a dog is flying a spaceship? Dogs don't do that.
Oh, what, now dogs have rights, liberals?
Can we end on this great detail that I just was grinning from ear to ear about?
The sex scene? did you guys have the sex scene in yours?
No, you were accidentally looking at porn on your phone.
Oh, right, it came
up. The dick that came in 12 parsecs.
No, dude, fucking Warwick Davis.
Yes!
Just getting to be a dude in a movie.
Yes.
It's awesome.
And he's great. For the one
playing
line
Weasel, by the way.
Yeah. I liked I'm going to help these people out. I don't need, and it's the biggest hat we hang on anything, where she's like, you, sir, have just funded a rebellion. Hello. And I'm like, I either get it or I don't get it. I just, like, take that fucking shit and walk away, lady. Yeah.
That kind of, to me, is, like, the least offensive of all of those. Dude, the Jabba ones are the worst because they do it twice.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I know a guy on Tatooine. Leaving it there
I didn't mind the Jabba stuff.
I liked the first one, but the second was like, you want to go to Tatooine, buddy?
Because Woody Harrelson saying it, you're like, all right, whatever. But then when Han says it, he's like, yeah, this fat guy on Tatooine. Like, he makes some size thing, and I was like, I got it the first time when you were fucking talking.
You know what
about
I want?
It.
I want Han and Chewie on a double date. Figure that out. That's the end of your movie.
Yep,
it's like,
dude,
they're just going to the movies to see something else.
That's like a Perfect Strangers episode right there. Ah, so that has been WHM On Screen for Solo, a Star Wars movie. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.